The fight for the future is now. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream
right now
at Infowars.com/show.
Well, we knew that this week was going to be exciting, and it kicks off with Andrew McCabe stepping down from the FBI. Of course, the vote to release the memo will be tonight. We'll be having live coverage with you right here on the War Room. Alex Jones will be joining me later to break it all down as they are set to vote to release the memo tonight on the eve of Trump's first State of the Union address, which will be tomorrow night. In the meantime, John Bowne breaks down why the left is freaking out over the memo.
Why are the Democrats so defensive and openly misleading when it comes to the damning four-page Devin Nunes memo on the verge of being released? California Democrat Adam Schiff is a ranking member of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. But if you listen to him, there's nothing to see regarding the missing and now found texts clearly fomenting a plan to take Trump down. Schiff even goes so far as to say that the only interest for the four-page memo is from Russian bots. Of course, Americans want to see the memo, and Schiff and the rest of the anti-Trumpers should too, if it is as baseless as they say.
The FBI was tasked with another mission of great importance, investigating Russia's interference in our elections. As that investigation progressed, it found that members of the Trump campaign had concerning associations with the Russians in the lead up to the election. That was pure law enforcement. That wasn't some political direction.
In February of 2016, during the Clinton email probe, Page sends this text. One more thing. She, Clinton, might be our next president. The last thing you need, us going in there loaded for bear. You think she's going to remember or care that it was more DOJ, Department of Justice, than FBI? Strzok responds, agreed. I called Bill and relayed what we discussed. He agrees. I will email you and redacted same. The real question I have is that there's no question that is a deeply troubling political bias expressed by two FBI officials.
Same two people who were so biased they should be kicked to the curb immediately were the ones interviewing Hillary Clinton, editing the memo to take out references to President Obama, editing the memo to take out the reference to grossly negligent. So, I can't prove to you that they were the final decision makers, nor do I have to. What I have to prove to you is two really important people hated him, would have done anything to protect her, and thank God Michael Horowitz found out about him while they were investigating the president.
All of us should be giving the FBI space and encouragement to finish their investigation without delay or interference. Instead, ever since Special Counsel Mueller was appointed, too many Republicans and too many in the right-wing media have been desperate to distract the nation from his investigation.
If a motivated member of Congress, such as someone whose name rhymes with, Matt Gaetz, wanted to make this public, you could do so because you have immunity for anything you say in speech or debate on the floor of Congress. You could go out there, you could read the memo, and you could put anything you want into the congressional record. So it ain't the Democrats, my friend. You could put this if you wanted to do more than just hype it.
No, Chris, the Democrats actually voted no. The Republicans voted yes. There's a few reasons the things you mentioned would not be beneficial for our national security. First, if we accept as a premise that members of Congress ought to take top secret documents and go start reading them on the floor of the House of Representatives, it will irreparably damage the sharing of intelligence and information that we need to make real-time decisions.
You don't have to read everything.
But it's not going to come to that.
The Republican majority on the House Intelligence Committee has, according to Representative Schiff, manufactured a secret memo of partisan
talking. So there's one of the dirtiest rats in politics, Chuck Schumer, citing one of the dirtiest rats in politics, Adam Schiff. But it's all collapsing in front of them. That's why they're freaking out. That's why they're lying and misdirecting and trying to confuse the Republic. So everything that they're saying real news is doing and real media is doing, that's exactly what they're doing. And it's all set to break tonight when they vote to release this memo. We'll be right back with the War Room.
is the War Room.
We'll talk about draining the swamp. How about James Comey drained, and now Andrew McCabe drained? And on a side note, over the weekend, you had Cecile Richards step down as the leader of Planned Parenthood. She had been with Planned Parenthood as the president for 12 years, and she steps down. Don't for one second think that's a coincidence either. Welcome into the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. We are going to be covering live the what I believe will be the eventual release of the memo tonight, at least the vote. Republicans and Democrats in the House Intel Committee are going to be voting tonight whether or not to release the memo. Now, the final say will come from President Trump. Once the Republicans that outnumber the Democrats in that committee vote to release it, it then goes to President Trump's desk, which I would see him having no hesitation releasing that memo, as he's already exposed a lot of the information detailed inside with various tweets. But regardless, we already pretty much know what's in the memo. It's all about having it certified by the House Intel Committee so that then we hope the Department of Justice can move forward with either an investigation into the fake dossier, into the Clinton Foundation, into the Obama administration, or set up a separate private counsel to do that investigation. So that's what we are expecting. Now, pull up that story right there, guys, that we just had from InfoWars.com from Kit Daniels. Trump should release the memo during the State of the Union. So I actually thought a lot about this last night, thinking about the timing. And see, I try to be right when I'm covering President Trump as instead of reactionary, because if you're reactionary when covering President Trump, you're going to be wrong sometimes. So I'm sitting here trying to think about how would Trump want this to go down, because Trump's in control. I think that what you're going to have is the Republicans will vote to release the memo, but I'm not sure Trump is going to actually cover that tonight in his State of the Union. I think what we're going to expect tonight, or what we should expect tonight, is a review of year one from President Trump. And what does the saying go? Year one, salvage. Year two, savage. So I think in his State of the Union, it's going to be about all of the salvaging he did for America. The jobs growth, the unemployment down, the welfare state down, the manufacturing jobs back, the repatriation of billions and billions of dollars, all of these companies investing into America, billions and billions of dollars, the stock market's hitting record highs. So that's what I think you're going to get from the State of the Union tomorrow. And I don't think it's going to get too much into the deep state. But at the conclusion of that, I think Trump will certify the release for the memo to go public, and that's when the real savaging starts to happen. So you saw salvage, President Trump removing the knife out of America's back and then mending the wound. So we've got that taken care of. So now America can walk and breathe and isn't on life support anymore. And so now President Trump can savage the deep state that he may have caught via text messages plotting to kill him. Think about that. So that's kind of where I'm expecting everything to go now, where last week I thought you were going to get more of a savage this week, but I think it's going to be the final week. He's going to talk about all the positive things. He's going to mention how the Democrats didn't vote for the tax cuts that have been so greatly successful. And it's going to be a very positive, unifying, pro-American State of the Union address tomorrow. But once that memo comes out, that's when the real questions are going to start getting raised. Because what is going to happen, as we just in the last segment heard Chuck Schumer telling you an exact mirrored reality, where they take reality and then they flip it. It's just like, what is this story of someone saying that, oh, yeah, yeah, it's Cory Booker. In fact, we'll go to that later. But Cory Booker saying that Trump is acting lawlessly. Cory Booker, you delusional Democrat. Don't you realize that we're about to be informed on how lawless and phony Barack Obama was? See, I've said this before. The Democrats and the left are so high on their own excrement right now that they don't even know fact from fiction. Even even when they make something up, like Trump-Russia collusion, they're such hypothetical liars now that they believe it. They really believe it. And so they've completely abandoned reality, or they cannot tell the difference between what is real and what they've made up. And so Cory Booker goes on this rant. In fact, let's just go to that now, guys. Let's just go to this now. Clip five. So even though we are about to find out just how lawless President Obama was and the FBI and the DOJ under President Obama breaking the law, we had it all in this FISA memo. It's all going to come out when the Nunes memo comes out. But here's Cory Booker, another delusional Democrat who can't tell the difference between fact and fiction, saying Trump doesn't abide by the rule of law.
Senator Booker, President Trump ordering Mueller to be fired, taken together with everything else we know so far, to you, does it rise to the level of obstruction of justice?
Well, to me, it's a very troubling fact pattern. And we see this president,
has,
in my opinion, very authoritarian.
Notice you're pausing right there. Notice how this is what I'm saying. They just say buzzwords. There's a fact pattern with Donald Trump. A fact pattern. Well, name the facts. Well, I don't need a fax. I just have the fax pattern. I'm Cory Booker. Look at my clean chrome dome up here. You're so confused because of the light gleaming off my chrome dome, you're not even going to ask me about a fact pattern. So let's see if Cory Booker provides us a fact pattern, as he says. Fact pattern. Let's hear Cory Booker's fact pattern.
That destroy the norms of our democracy and do border on things that I think could arise to the attention, or actually I know are arising to the attention of the special prosecutor. Remember, this is somebody who, as you said...
Okay, pause it right there. So here's his fact pattern with no facts in it at all. Everything he just said... Everything that he just insinuated about President Trump is about to be proven true about President Obama tenfold. And it's just, you have to wonder, how does someone like Cory Booker go on television and try to sell you the exact opposite view of reality? Is this man blackmailed? Is this man that delusional? Is this man that clueless? Is this man that partisan? Is it all four of those things combined? Still hasn't given you any fact pattern.
Yeah, the special counsel is really looking into this fact pattern.
Oh, you mean the special counsel that has been proven to be totally biased? Oh, you mean the special counsel that was set up as an insurance policy that was set up because of a fake Russian dossier? Is that what you're talking about, Mr. Booker? What? Finish your statement there, Mr. Booker.
Business to seem to try to intimidate or punish people, whether it's Jeff Sessions for recusing himself, whether it's Robert Mueller himself. So we have a very serious situation with this president that ultimately I think is unchecked right now and doesn't see himself as being subject to the rule of law. I mean, he's even going as far like dictators in other nations to call for the arrest and persecution and prosecution of his former opponent. So we're in trouble.
Pause it right there.
Here.
Pause it right there. Okay. Again, everything he just said is a lie. The only time he ever called for the arrest of anyone was during the debate when he said Hillary Clinton should be in jail. And he was right. But this is the funny thing. I love this talking point when they try to say Trump is a dictator. Trump was authoritarian. If Trump was how they portray him, Cory Booker would already be in jail. If Trump was the dictator or the authoritarian that they try to paint him as, or the Nazi, he wouldn't be working with Israel. All the protesters on the streets that are anti-Trump would have been rounded up and thrown in prison. And Cory Booker and Nancy Pelosi and all of Trump's detractors in Congress would also be in prison. Oh, but that's right. See, he's not an authoritarian and he's not a dictator. And everything that Cory Booker is sitting here trying to say about Trump, it was actually true about Obama. And that's what's going to be amazing. So what is going to happen to CNN when all of the lies that they've been peddling with the Chuck Schumers and the Nancy Pelosi's and the Maxine Waters are just full out proven to be wrong? What happens to CNN then? So So we've got an absolutely loaded broadcast as we will be rolling right through the normal end time of the War Room, which is 6 p.m. Central here in Austin, Texas. But we're going to be rolling on through past that, covering what we expect to be the vote to release the memo tonight. Now, that doesn't mean that the memo will be released tonight. It still has to be approved by President Trump. I expect no hesitation there. But we will be covering it as the Republicans that outnumber the Democrats in the House Intel Committee are set to vote to release the memo tonight. So we'll be live covering that. We're going to roll right through past 6 o'clock. Alex Jones will be joining us. So you're going to want to stick around for all of that. Big breaking news, obviously, today is the FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe steps down. That is the morning of the vote that's set to release this memo, which probably won't reflect good on him. And then we're also going to be playing in the second hour, Matt Gaetz's exclusive interview with Alex Jones today. That was powerful stuff. So we're going to play that for you in the second hour. You're not going to want to miss that. In the meantime, though, I've got some more news to cover. Obviously, again, the big news today, FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe steps down. The FBI swamp is draining. Comey is out. McCabe is out. The partisan members of the FBI that let the criminal Hillary Clinton walk. And in fact, they decided that she was innocent before they even investigated her. It was a rigged investigation, folks. It was the swamp. It was DC corruption. And now something is finally being done about it. You know, millions of people chanted to lock her up in the year 2016. You wonder if that will ever actually happen. In the meantime, though, Trump is seeing success in what he's been doing to try to stymie the North Korean regime or get a regime change, however you want to phrase it. This is from the Wall Street Journal. North Korea under sanctions strain. Dials back military exercises. Oh, it's funny how that works. So President Trump imposes sanctions on North Korea, then basically tough talks China, makes deals with China so that China can no longer help North Korea. China did get caught trying to ship them gas, but I don't think other than that they have been. So they've been actually cooperating with President Trump in the what he's been doing to try to stymie North Korea. And then there you go. Trump is successful as North Korea is dialing back its military exercises. Of course, a good liberal might tell you that that's a bad thing. How dare America try to stop North Korea from having military exercises? But that's just what's going on, and I think Trump would view that as a success. Also, this story breaks on the Daily Beast. And it's funny the spin they put on this because, again, modern day anti-Trump leftists, I don't even know. They can't see reality anymore. They're so clouded with hate and their vision is so twisted with rage that they can't even see reality. So this whole story is basically how the lawyer, the Russian lawyer, Veselnitskaya, who had the Trump Tower meeting with Don Jr. and the other parties that the media made this huge deal about. So it turns out that this Russian lawyer, Veselnitskaya, has been exposed in this Swiss corruption case. And it talks about her being involved in bribery and corruption and even a double agent. And so you're reading this story. And again, remember that in the background here, they are not going to mention this in the story because, again, they don't want you to really understand the picture here. They just want you to hate Trump. Veselnitskaya worked with Fusion GPS to expose Bill Browder. So Veselnitskaya, double agent, triple agent, rogue agent, I don't really know. But they write this story about how she's at least a double agent and how she's got all these corruption cases surrounding her. And they write the story like it's a bad thing, like, oh, see, this is who Trump Jr. was meeting with. This was the woman that was organizing everything and trying to get the information to the Trumps. And it's like, well, wait a second. First of all, if Trump is colluding with Russia, Why does he need some dingbat attorney? So that doesn't make sense. Second of all, as Moore got exposed about this meeting, it looked like she was a double agent and it was a setup to begin with. Then you read the story and it just confirms the whole thing. It's like, yes, she was clearly a double agent, maybe even a triple rogue agent, just takes whatever opportunities out there. And so did she set up a meeting with Don Jr. so that they could claim he was trying to coordinate with Russia? Is that why the whole thing fell apart and there was the vast miscommunication? But they write the story and it's, ooh, look, we got the lawyer. Ooh, we got the lawyer who was meeting with Don Jr. It's like, you didn't get anything. Everybody knew this about her. Everybody knew she was a double agent. Everybody knew she was working with Fusion GPS. Everybody knew she was undercover trying to expose Bill Browder. This doesn't make Trump look bad. This makes the meeting with Trump Jr. look like a setup. But that's not how they see it, because they hate Trump so much and because they're so upset still at the election result, they can't even see reality. And so they publish this story and they think that it makes Trump Jr. look bad. Oh, look at Trump Jr. He's meeting with this double agent. Ooh, it's like, no, this double, triple rogue agent was already working with Fusion GPS that was working with the Clinton campaign. You get it? No, the Daily Beast doesn't get it. It's amazing, though. The Daily Beast always prints these stories and they think that they can spin it to make it look bad on Trump. And it just doesn't happen. It just never happens. All right, I don't have enough time to get into this clip. We're going to get into this clip in the next segment. Sarah Huckabee Sanders was receiving questions today about FBI Director Andrew McCabe stepping down. So we're going to have that clip in the next segment. In the meantime, folks, if you listen to the Alex Jones Show today, you've heard some of the good news that, well, we're expanding our broadcasting. We have more people that want to pick us up. We're about to switch to a more television aimed audience, and it's all possible because of you at InfoWarsStore.com. Alex was actually just telling me about some of the numbers that it takes to make this next level launch that he's expecting, and it's not cheap, folks. It's not cheap. And he puts more money into this company than he does his own pocket. I guarantee you that. It's not even close. And you make it all possible at InfoWarsStore.com. So we've got specials going right now. You've got 40% off the InfoWars Life Mind and Body Combo Pack. That's the Brain Force and the Vitamin Mineral Fusion combined into a combo pack, the Mind and Body Combo Pack, 40% off. 40% off. You heard Roger Stone's trainer, the man who taught Arnold, the Arnold Press, say that he takes Vitamin Mineral Fusion every morning. I take Vitamin Mineral Fusion every morning as well. It's a great boost in the morning to get all the vitamins and minerals you need that you might not be getting in your diet. It's perfect every morning. I take it with a mountain of pills, most of which come from InfoWarsStore.com, including sometimes Brain Force. It is great in the morning. If you wake up and you need to start work early in the morning and you've got to kind of got that morning fog, that morning brain fog, Brain Force knocks it out immediately. So eliminate morning brain fog with the InfoWars Life and Mind Body Combo Pack. It gets your body jump started. It gets your mind jump started. It's 40% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And every dime you put into InfoWarsStore.com goes back into the InfoWars so that we can expand. And we are the media now. Poll of the day at War Room Show on Twitter. Do you want the Nunes FISA memo released before or after the State of the Union address? We've got just under 2,000 votes, about an hour in here. And before is taking the cake, 88% wanting the FISA memo released before the State of the Union address. And, you know, even though we are all impatient beings and we'd love to get that memo out now just to prove how right we were and how wrong the fake media was, the CNN and the MSNBC and the Chuck Schumers and the Adam Schiffs and all of them and the Maxine Waters, part of me now is actually, I'm actually on the back end of this. And I actually want it after. Because think about this. the longer we wait to get that memo, the more time the Democrats have to shove a knife into themselves to slit their own throat. Because that's what they're doing. They're not going to stop. They obviously don't care that Barack Obama's presidency is about to be fully exposed as lawless. They obviously don't care that President Trump is saving the American economy, rejuvenating the market, rejuvenating jobs growth, rejuvenating manufacturing, actually implementing and executing a foreign policy that has goals and victories in mind. They don't care about any of that. They're willing to just shove all of that down the drain and lie to you. And you have to ask yourself why. You have to ask yourself why. But at this point, you can assume whatever whys you want. The point is that they're going to keep doing it. So let them. Go ahead. Let Maxine Waters do her rebuttal to the State of the Union. I mean, what the hell is that? Maxine Waters? This woman is clearly mentally ill. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Why not just let them continue to disintegrate themselves? Oh, yeah. Trump's unfit for office. Donald Trump's unfit for office. So I know what we'll do. We'll have Maxine Waters give a rebuttal. Mad Maxine. Oh, yeah. Genius plan. Oh, my gosh. What will they think of next? Are they going to put Nancy Pelosi up next? Wow. Oh, my gosh. Maybe they'll have Elizabeth Warren do the Native American People's Voice address. It'll be wonderful. And then Chuck Schumer can tell us how Trump is a Russian agent. I can't wait. Please. See, that's what I'm saying. It's all like the Grammys that happened last night and nobody knew. It's like, do they really think anyone's listening? Like, do you really think your political stunts at the Grammys are going to influence politics in America at all? Ha! Ha! You really think Maxine Waters giving a rebuttal to the State of the Union is going to help your cause? So please, do it! There's the Grammy ratings hit all-time demo low. Who watched the Grammys? It's like what I'm saying. First of all, here's the problem. You know when all these award shows lost their luster? Is when they quit being award shows. There's no awards anymore. They're all selections. All these things are predetermined. And it's just nothing more than a self-aggrandizing act of just patting each other on the back. Oh, you're so great. Oh, you're so much better, though. Oh, my gosh, but look what I did. Oh, and they're all just, woo. And then nobody's watching. And they think we care. They really think we care. Bruno Mars apparently takes all the awards. Let's do a quick survey amongst the crew. Does anyone listen to Bruno Mars? One in the whole crew. I got one hand up. So what, one out of seven? One out of eight. So that's what I'm saying. Nobody listens to Bruno Mars. Nobody could tell you his last album. I'm not dissing Bruno Mars. He's a great musician. It's all fake. But anyway, I'm not going to get to this clip. I'm going to just continue to ramble. Let's go to this. Sarah Huckabee Sanders answering questions on Andrew McCabe stepping down.
Sarah, the news came down in the last hour that the deputy director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe, is stepping down. Can we get reaction from the White
Drain
House?
Drain the swamp.
The president back at Drain the swamp. Was tweeting about Andrew McCabe.
That's right.
Less than effusive praise manner. What's he thinking about?
It's amazing how Trump is ahead of the curve, isn't it?
I've seen the numerous reports, as all of you have, and any specifics, I can tell you none of this decision was made by that of the White House, and any specifics, I would refer you to the FBI, who I believe will be making a statement later today.
You say that the White House was not involved in the decision, but clearly the president seemed to be involved in a public relations campaign against McCabe.
The president stands by his previous comments, but in terms of the situation today, as I just said, we've seen the reports just as all of you have. We don't have any specific comments, and I would refer you to the FBI for any specifics on the things that are taking place today. Jill?
So when you say that you've seen the reports, does that mean that the president was not informed by anyone at the FBI that this was happening? Has he had any conversation with anything there?
No, he hasn't. Cecilia.
Can you say definitively then that the president did not play a role in Andrew McCabe stepping down?
Yes, I didn't say the president wasn't part of this decision-making process, and we would refer you to the FBI, where Christopher Wray serves as the director, which, as I said last week, and I'll repeat again today, the president has full confidence in him and has put the decisions at the FBI in his hands.
And did the president at any time convey that he wanted to fire Robert Mueller to anyone on the staff here?
Not that I'm aware of.
Thank you. So, and just to kind of finish.
Oh, so it was fake news.
No one at the White House contacted the FBI about McCabe. No one put any directives or even had any discussions about his tenure.
See, they still don't get it. Pause it right there. Pause it right there. And I don't know who these. I don't know who this journalist is asking. I'm not insulting her. They don't understand how Trump works. See, they don't understand that Trump negotiates through the media. Because the media is so predictable, all Trump has to do is set a rat trap for them by leaving a tweet or making a comment, and then he knows that they're all going to jump at that cheese like hungry rats, and so that then once he's got them all gnawing and heaving at the cheese, then he can make a deal. And they don't get it. They still don't get it. Trump tweets out, Andrew McCabe is basically bad for the FBI and very partisan, let Hillary go. And then they're all like, oh my gosh, what did Trump say to the White House or to the FBI? What were they saying? What were they doing? And it's like, no, you just did it. You just reported on the tweet and then it got to the FBI. They just don't get it yet. Here, go back to the clip.
At the White House.
Not that I'm aware of it. Nothing specific to McCabe and his stepping down today.
So Trump tweets it out. The media reacts, freaks out, and then the FBI gets it through the media. It's called 60 chess.
Had almost sort of a steady pressure put on the Justice Department, put on the FBI, since the president came into office on this special counsel investigation, whether it be conversations with Jeff Sessions' office about his refusal, whether it be about this desire for Robert Mueller to go away, and now with Andrew McCabe. There were even reports that Rod Rosenstein was also feeling pressure from the White House. It sounds like there are multiple officials at multiple levels.
Sounds like Acosta doesn't know when to shut up.
What would you say in response to that?
I would say what I've said probably 100 times before, and continue. We'll say I'm sure 100 times today that the White House has been fully cooperative and is going to continue to be fully cooperative. In fact, we've gone above and beyond many times, and certainly.
All right, pull it down. We got to have a break here. And don't you just love Sarah Sanders? Sarah Huckabee Sanders is so perfect for this job. Because her mere presence at the podium is, like, annoying for her. Like, just her having to be in a room with all of those people, you can tell she's annoyed. She's just like, okay, Jim. Oh, great. Oh, yeah, Jim. Wow, Jim, you hate Trump. Something new today, Jim? It's the perfect person for the job. Because it really is the worst job to have to go deal with all those members of the fake media. But this is what Trump does. He negotiates through the media, just like he did last week with the DACA deal that was never going to happen. It was never going to happen. And he used the media to make the Democrats look bad. All right, we are ticking closer to the release of the memo that has been the number one trend on social media for almost 2 weeks now. Hashtag release the memo. This is despite the blatant and possibly illegal even censorship by Twitter and Facebook and Google and YouTube and the like. Here's our poll of the day at War Room Show on Twitter. Do you want the Nunes FISA memo released before or after the State of the Union? I didn't really finish my point, so I'll just finish it real quickly. The reason why I actually would vote after on this deal is because I think that in response to President Trump's State of the Union tomorrow, you're going to see just as much delusional hysteria from the Democrats as we have over the last year and a half. So I say, let the Democrats embarrass themselves one last time in response to the State of the Union, which is going to be a powerful address. I am expecting this to be very riveting, but mainly an uplifting, empowering, and uniting State of the Union that says that America's back, our economy's booming, we're more respected worldwide than we have been in the last 8 years. That's the type of speech I expect. So then let the Democrats come out and cry about how America's better than ever. Cry about how you're getting your tax cuts. Cry about how that we're having a border now. See, because they don't understand that's what people want. So let them have their moment of delusional hysteria after Trump's State of the Union. Give them about 24 to 48 hours to embarrass themselves and hang themselves politically one last time before that memo comes out and embarrasses them all into oblivion. Because you're going to be faced with a situation. The media is one thing. CNN and MSNBC are already a joke. They already, their audience is already the dumbest of the dumb. So, okay, whatever happens to them happens to, whatever happens to the fake news, whatever happens to Rachel Maddow, whatever happens to Don Lemon or Brian Stelter, that's their own doing. They're the dumb nuts, the crackheads essentially of television. That's what they are. They are the crackheads of TV. Brian Stelter, Rachel Maddow are your television crackheads essentially. You know, if you want to, you know, be high on crack, which is what fake news does for these people because they're so filled with hatred and rage and just total denial of the last election. So that's like their crack. Rachel Maddow and Brian Stelter are the crack for the delusional Democrats and liberals out there. So whatever embarrassment befuddles them, that's fine. But what about the people that are actually in office, like the Chuck Schumers and the Maxine Waters and the Nancy Pelosi's and the Adam Schiff's? They're going to be freaking out about the State of the Union. You know they're going to come out and excoriate Trump. He's racist. He's bigoted. He lied. He made this up. He said this over here. He made this accusation. Oh, my gosh. And then it all comes out when the memo gets released. Oh, my gosh. Barack Obama was acting lawlessly, and the DOJ and the FBI went along with it. And they all knew. Or wait a second. Is it a situation where they all knew, or is it a situation where they're so pathetic and they're so ignorant that all of this corruption was going on right in front of their face? So you really only have two options at this point. Either you're a failed politician or a failed member of the media that got everything 100% wrong. Or you're fake, you're bought and paid for member of our government, a bought and paid for member of the media. It's the only two streets you get to choose by the end of this week. That's my guess. So what's it going to be? Is Chuck Schumer going to admit how wrong he was about Trump and how illegal Obama was? Or will he come out after the memo is released and stay on the same path he's been on, that Trump is a Russian agent and he puts non-American citizens ahead of American citizens? I guess we're going to find out. But meanwhile, the Grammys did happen last night. Again, the Grammys are a joke. In fact, there was a band, Avenged Sevenfold, that boycotted the Grammys. They said, rock gets no respect. Amen for that. Absolutely. The Grammys are a joke. A joke. The best music never wins. Never. In fact, you know what's funny? Taylor Swift used to sweep the Grammys because she was like the only person that actually wrote her own music and made good music. Like, no one writes their own music anymore. Nobody writes their own lyrics. Nobody produces their own albums. Taylor Swift was like the only artist that does that. And so they called it white supremacist. Oh, we're pro women. We love independent women that accomplish things. Hey, look, here's Taylor Swift setting every record in the music industry. White supremacy. No, not Taylor Swift. White supremacy. She won't say global warming is man-made. She won't say President Trump is a Nazi. So, nope, she doesn't get an award anymore. Nope. And she's not a powerful woman either. So amazing how that works. But it's really just a joke. I've actually been a huge follower and fan of music. I used to be a music critic. The Grammys haven't celebrated good music for basically my whole life. I mean, it's a farce. It's a joke. Oh, I saw a story. Kesha gets snubbed from a... Kesha? I'm sorry. I happen to like some of Kesha's albums, but Grammy worthy? Give me a break. Give me a break. And if that's who you think should win a Grammy, you have a really low bar as far as music is concerned. And I feel bad for you. But regardless, they tried to use the Grammys that nobody watched and nobody cares about and isn't even a musical award show anymore. It's just pat each other on the back and hate America show. Nikki Haley thinks Hillary's cameo ruined the Grammys. So they do this whole thing where they all come up on, I guess it's a video board, and they're reading from Fire and Fury. In fact, we've got this clip. Let's go to clip number three. This is the Grammys that are supposed to be about music that don't really celebrate real music, that celebrate fake music, and then just celebrate how they all hate America and want to see America fall. Here is the reading of the fake book Fire and Fury that they played at the Grammys. Hey, John
Fire
Legend.
Fury, spoken word.
He makes good music.
Take one.
I'll give him credit. John Legend does
Trump
make good music.
Read anything. He gets up halfway through meetings with world leaders because he is bored.
Cut!
Sorry, John. Yeah. It's wonderful. It just feels a bit too smooth. I don't think it's going to work.
Oh. Next.
Okay. Yeah, you need to hate him more. Come on.
Semicolon. The color was a product called Just for Men. The longer it was left on, the darker it got. Impatience resulted in Trump's orange blonde hair color.
Cut.
Trump did not enjoy his
Snoop
own
Dogg.
Inauguration. He started to get angry and
he's
hurt.
So well read and studied.
To embarrass him.
Why don't I read Snoop Dogg's lyrics on the set? See how that goes.
If Trump was not having his 6:30 dinner with Steve Bannon, then more to his liking, he was in bed by that time with a cheeseburger.
Cardi B?
Why am I even reading this? I can't believe.
Why would you
this.
Want to name yourself after a piece of clothing?
Really?
Cardigan?
This
she's
how
a cardigan.
He lives his life?
Hi, I'm Cardigan.
Keep his staff for picking up his shirt from the floor.
I think that's DJ Khaled.
If my shirt
am I right?
Is on the floor, it's
DJ
because
Khaled?
I want it on the floor. Another one. It's we the best. It's DJ Khaled.
Wow, look at how well read these people
this
are.
This is the best spoken word album in the game.
So
I'm
eloquent.
I'm gonna win my Cut. Grammy.
So this isn't gonna work. Next.
It's not going to work. Everything I do works.
Stand by. Take one.
Uh-oh, what's
he
this?
He had a longtime fear of being poisoned. One reason why he liked to eat at McDonald's. Nobody knew he was coming, and the food was safely pre-made.
That's it. We've got it. That's the one.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
The Grammys in the bag?
In the bag.
So it would be one thing if that was funny. If that was actually funny, it'd be one thing, but it's not funny, and it's not meant to be funny. It's meant to be propaganda to make you hate President Trump, who is pro-America. Simple as that. But then notice what they did there with Hillary Clinton. They put the ominous music behind her, and then she's talking about poisoning President Trump. If you don't think that's signaling, just like Phil Mudd going on CNN saying we're going to take this president out, just like Chuck Schumer said the intelligence agencies have six ways of Sunday to making you look bad or whatever his phrase was, it's all the same, just like Kathy Griffin holding up the decapitated Trump head, Snoop Dogg pretending to shoot Trump in a music video, the New York Public Theater staging a Trump assassination attempt on the stage. It's all the same thing. It's all brainwashing propaganda to get you to hate Trump, but they don't understand it's not working. Nobody's listening to them anymore. They're failures. Nobody cares what you think about politics. If you're going to comment on politics, you might want to know something about politics. But let's go to Roger Stone. Roger Stone had a response to last night's Grammys.
It's Roger Stone for the War Room. So they say Hillary Clinton stole the Grammy show. Let's just say it wasn't the first thing she's ever stolen.
So there's Roger Stone commenting on the Grammys that nobody watched. Hey, you know what? I give the Grammys credit. Nobody would have even known they happened last night if they didn't make it into an anti-Trump, anti-America show. So if they were trying to drum up some notification just to get people to notice them, like, hey, we're over here. We still have Grammys. We said something bad about Trump. Oh, hey, they're saying something bad about Trump. Now we watch them.
The War Room. Infowars.com/
Even in his 90s, Henry Kissinger still doesn't know when to quit when it comes to sticking his big fat New World Order nose in current foreign policy. Why in the deepest recesses of Hades should we still listen to this man after he's propped up dictators? Had a guiding hand in the killing fields of the Khmer Rouge.
At 7:30 a.m. on April 17th, 1975, the war in Cambodia was over. It was a unique war, for no country has ever experienced such concentrated bombing. On this, perhaps the most gentle and graceful land in all of Asia, President Nixon and Mr. Kissinger unleashed 100,000 tons of bombs, the equivalent of five Hiroshimas.
Kept Vietnam churning along, overthrew a democratically elected Chilean government.
You know, there was to be no peaceful, democratic, orderly transition in Chile. That the 60-day constitutionally mandated waiting period between the election of a president, in this case Salvador Allende, and his confirmation, inauguration, would be used for a campaign of murder and subversion in order that that transition not occur. And this involved the cold-blooded planning of the murder of General René Schneider, the head of the Chilean Armed Forces, an honorable conservative and constitutionalist officer in a country which, I repeat, was a democracy that had open diplomatic relations and trade relations with the United States and posed no threat to it. And that murder is now what a lawyer, I think, could decently call a lay-down case. A lay-down case from soup to nuts. We know who commissioned it, who paid for it, who organized it, who shipped the illegal money, who shipped the dirty weapons to Chile to have this done, and who paid the murderers after the crime had been committed. And the same name and the same face recurs throughout. We charge Henry Kissinger with murder for that.
And oversaw the genocide in East Timor. But the political class continues to suck up to him and his golden New World Order ticket.
Mr. Chairman and gentlemen, thank you for your decades of service and being here. There's been a lot of focus, Dr. Kissinger, as you mentioned in your testimony, on the immediate challenge of North Korea. The Trump administration has pretty much put out a red line. I think they've called it that. Maybe they haven't called it that, but that they're not going to allow North Korea to have the capability of an intercontinental ballistic missile with a nuclear weapon on top. And yet, that red line has either already been crossed in terms of some intel analysts, or is going to be crossed soon.
We will hit that fork in the road. And the temptation to deal with it with a preemptive attack is strong, and the argument is rational. But I have seen no public statement by any leading official, but in any event, my own thinking, I would be very concerned by a unilateral American war at the borders of China and Russia, in which we are not supported by a significant part of the world.
Regardless of whether you agree with Kissinger's advice, old Henry should have been resigned to the ash heap of history years ago. John Bound reporting for Infowars.com.
Let's make talk radio great again.
This is the War Room.
All right, we are into the second hour of the War Room here, and we're expecting the vote in the House Intel Committee to go the way of releasing the memo tonight. Now, we have the crew monitoring all C-SPAN broadcasts to see if they do any sort of live coverage of this themselves. We're also monitoring, obviously, all the other media sources out there to see what's going on, but we will be live right through the normal conclusion of the War Room, which is 6 p.m. Central Time, Probably go, I don't know when, but we'll go as long as it takes to get the coverage of this out there. And we'll take your calls tonight. We'll do whatever. Alex Jones will be joining us as well. So whatever it takes to cover this tonight, that is what we will be doing here at InfoWars.com/show. And it's all part of the bigger picture, which is InfoWars getting bigger and InfoWars becoming the media. And that's really the sea change that's happening right now. Because I've asked that in the past. It's like, what do CNN and MSNBC do? Because they don't report anything right. And eventually, even the brainwashed minions are going to be sick of it. Sick of being misled. Sick of going out on the streets in a Trump protest and then looking like a blibbering idiot. Because their information sources, their media sources, give them no ammo. Give them nothing. No original thought. Just hearsay. Just talking points that are shallow and can be defeated very simply and very easily in about 1 minute in a debate. It's really easy. It takes about 60 seconds before they go into cursing maniac mode. It's usually about one or two questions and then boom, just right into immediate mode. Because that's the depth of their information that they're getting from their fake news sources. But here's the deal. As InfoWars is growing because of your support at InfoWarsStore.com, as we are becoming the media, as everything that we report comes true, more people are seeking us out. More people want to come on our show. More people want to have their voices on our platform where they know it won't be censored and they can speak their mind. And you're seeing the specials at InfoWarsStore.com right now. 50% off the new Pollen Block, $50 off the new Alexa Pure Breeze. If you don't have an Alexa Pure Breeze, you know, you've got this weird, crazy super bug going along right now, and they're saying it's the flu. Folks, it's not the flu. They've done the studies. In fact, it's less than half the people that they're diagnosing with the flu are actually getting the flu. They just say it's the flu because you have similar symptoms, but they don't even know what it is. So you need to do everything you can right now to protect yourself, protect your home, protect your children, and have an environment that is not going to be susceptible to these super bugs. So it's not just about all of the nutraceuticals we offer at InfoWarsStore.com to build your immune system up, like Immune Wall, Nascent Iodine, Survival Shield X2, Vitamin B12, Secret 12, but also the Alexa Pure Breeze, filter your air, the Alexa Pure Water Filter, filter your water. So we also have a toxic environment that you have to filter, as well as all the chemicals that they attack us with in the food and in the water that we have to filter with the product. So it's all available at InfoWarsStore.com. And you're seeing that your support is being paid forward right now as Alex Jones is launching new shows, building new studios, getting new satellites. I mean, it's all happening right now, folks. It's really incredible to be a part of this. But we now get the guests. I mean, I've got people now that come up to me that are going to be running for Congress because they know that Roger Stone and I, my co-host, have been doing Make Congress Great Again 2018. So now all of these independent candidates that are running as Republicans but can't get a chance, can't get a word in edgewise because the GOP and the rhinos don't want independent Republicans, don't want Trump-supporting Republicans to win. They don't want them to get into Congress. So what do? Well, they can't get on Fox, they can't get on MSNBC or CNN, so they get on InfoWars, the mothership now. This is the resistance. Our resistance is victory now. Their resistance is futile. And so we get Matt Gaetz on today, who has just been absolutely groundbreaking as far as what he's been covering with the House Intel Committee looking into the FBI and their bias when it comes to, well, I guess when it comes to not indicting Hillary Clinton. And so he's been incredible. He goes on the Alex Jones show today and really breaks down exactly what we can expect from this memo and what is to come. So we're going to play that entire interview for you, and I'm going to be doing a little bit of commentary myself over it just to provide a little bit more of a background and details into this. But let's go to Alex Jones interviewing Matt Gaetz today on the Alex Jones Show, groundbreaking interview, an InfoWars exclusive right here on The War Room. Let's go to that interview.
Matt Gaetz from Florida has been one of the strongest, most focused, eloquent, on-target voices who we've all watched on Fox News, CNN, MSNBC doing battle. And he's got a statement out on the deputy director, acting director stepping down, and so much more on the eve of the vote here on the memo and so much more. So Congressman Matt Gaetz, thank you for joining us.
Good to be with you, Alex.
Well, wow, what a time to be alive seeing all this. Where should we start, with McCabe or with the vote tonight on the memo? I mean, so much is happening.
Well, I think we've got a lot of momentum in the Congress to get this memo released and before the American people, and that's absolutely essential. We've got to decide as a country what kind of government we want to have, what individual liberties protected by our Constitution are worthy of fighting for. I think it's also important for the FBI to move on past the era of Andrew McCabe. I wish him the best. I certainly don't hope anything bad happens to him going forward. But I absolutely think that the FBI and the Department of Justice had become so politicized that they had lost their way and they lost the confidence of the American people. And now we've got to rebuild that through reforms and transparency. And I think the first thing we can do in the Congress is vote to release this memo.
All right. So pause it right there. So notice how he starts that, this patriot, Matt Gaetz. He says, it's up to us to decide what type of government we want moving forward. And then he calls out the FBI and the DOJ. Folks, what he's talking about here is an Obama administration not only that spied on all American citizens. That's honestly a story in and of itself. But this is an example that he's taking because he knows that Barack Obama, in collusion with the FBI and the DOJ, broke the law to illegally spy on President Trump. That's what he's alluding to right there. He's saying, look, we've got a constitution. We've got all this separation of powers. We've got all these gears and levers of powers and spying ability here in the FBI and DOJ, et cetera. But it's not easy to do. There's a reason why we don't have bias. There's a reason why we have all these checks and balances so that any president can't just spy on any of his political opponents. But that's what happened under the Obama administration. And they ignored the FBI and the DOJ telling them, look, you're violating the procedures here. And they said, don't care. We're doing it anyway. And so the Obama administration went through spying on President Trump, even though they were doing it illegally. So that's what Matt Gaetz is saying. Do we want to have a Washington, D.C. that is biased, that is colluding with one another to fulfill their own political gains? Is that what we want? Or do we want Washington, D.C. and the government set up how it was supposed to be set up, with checks and balances, procedural power checks, and gears and levers of power so that one individual, the president, can't become an authoritarian or a dictator, or that you have these series of checks and balances with the FBI and the DOJ so that the president can't just willy-nilly say, I want to spy on this individual. I want to spy on this individual. And then they say, well, nope, sorry. That's against the law here. It's against the law here. You're doing dragnet surveillance here. We can't allow you all that data. Well, Obama just said, don't care. Don't care. We're going to ignore all of those laws. And then also we're going to have an FBI and a DOJ that are clearly biased, clearly partisan, and we're going to write off one of the biggest criminals in American history, Hillary Clinton, before we even do the investigation. So we're going to have more from Matt Gaetz on the other side of this break with Alex Jones, breaking down everything set to be released in the Nunes memo, the criminality of Obama, the criminality of Clinton, all coming to the light. And that's why Matt Gaetz has a smile on his face, because he knows he's part of the next great American revolution. Well, this week started off with a bang, just as we expected, as Andrew McCabe steps down, effective immediately, from his position in the FBI as of this morning. And now we're finding out that Ray went to the Hill to read the 4-page memo, and it was after that that McCabe decided to step down. Makes you wonder what Ray discovered when he read that memo that eventually might have led to McCabe stepping down. Amazing stuff. So we're going to be continuing to cover this live as we expect the 13 Republican members of the House Intel Committee to vote to release the memo tonight versus the 9 Democrats. And think about this. See, I'm telling you, The Democrats are in peak insanity mode right now, peak panic mode, and we actually need to take advantage of this and let them deteriorate and let them crumble, because what's going to happen is, just like no Democrats voted for the tax cuts, no Democrats are going to vote for this memo to be released. And think about that. Not only are these the same people that celebrate every time there's a leak from the White House that makes Trump look bad, they're going to vote not to release the most important memo probably in our lifetimes in politics because they know it would destroy their party. Party over country for the Democrats. And that got proven when they didn't vote for the tax cuts. And it's about to be proven again tonight when they don't vote to release this memo that is going to go mega viral. And I think even people on the left are going to read this and say, wow, I was duped. I was deceived. CNN really is the fake news. Rachel Maddow really is the fake news. Mika and Joe really are psycho. Chuck Schumer really is a rat. But then what are they going to do? They're not going to stop. Because don't you know that the State of the Union is tomorrow and Maxine Waters is giving her rebuttal? And right now, I don't know if the guys found the list, but all these Democrats are planning on boycotting the State of the Union. And they think that that makes them look good. I'm telling you, they are in peak insanity mode right now. There you go. You've got John Lewis. He's not going to make it. The Mad Hatter, Frederica Wilson. She's not going to make it. So that's what I'm saying. I think that Trump should not release this memo until the end of the week and let the Democrats be a burning pile of trash all week long, because that's what they're going to look like. And Trump is going to look like glory compared to these people. So it's really just incredible. We're monitoring right now. As soon as we get word that the vote went down, we'll go to it. In the meantime, though, let's go back to Matt Gaetz on the Alex Jones Show today, being interviewed by Alex Jones, breaking down the important information that will be released in this memo. Here's Matt Gaetz.
I mean, obviously, you and others have seen parts of the memo. You've talked to people that have seen the memo. I saw Trey Gowdy on Fox News last night getting that it's more than a memo. It's a compendium of the research of the chain of events. Can you speak to that and what those chain of events basically are? I mean, it's pretty clear you've got a cabal of Clintonites inside of the Justice Department and the FBI who wanted to stop him becoming president, stop him being even elected. And it looks like they even went more crazy once he was elected to try to basically stop him and have him removed.
Yeah, I can say that the period of time covered in the memo deals with time both before and after the 2016 presidential election. And one would not have to read the memo to even hold the views you hold, because there's so much information that's in the public square about the text messages between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, about, you know, the special status that Hillary Clinton received when she was being investigated. But really, the way in which intelligence has been collected and the manner in which that intelligence was authenticated, I think, is worthy of a debate in the Congress, because we need to ensure that we don't have an empowerment of these institutions linked to political organizations in a way that allows something like something so important like the FBI or the Department of Justice to be converted into a political hatchet job where they go after one party in favor of another. And that's what we don't want to see happen in this country.
Congressman Gaetz, looking at this, how did they think they get away with it? Because they try to say, oh, did Nunes invent his smoking gun? Invented the text messages of insurance policies and Stroke saying, I don't buy it. There's no evidence. And
here, pause it right here real quick. So let me just make two points real quick. One, what Matt Gaetz is basically saying there is that he's like, you know, Alex, we're going to release this memo and it's going to prove everything you already know to be right. So that's what he's telling you. He's like, you already know everything. Everyone already knows everything. Everybody knows that the DOJ and the FBI were corrupted by Clinton supporters and Clintonites and the Clinton crime cabal. Everybody knows that the Obama Department of Justice and FBI was acting illegally, and President Obama was basically a lawless president. And everything that's been foisted against President Trump has come from the brain of Hillary Clinton and the actions of Barack Obama. And then you've got the Fusion GPSs and the Christopher Steeles and the John McCains that kind of just are kind of just cockroaches, just, you know, crawling around on the deal. But it's really Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. And we already know all that. And that's what he's saying when he's saying, well, most of this is actually already in the public sphere. But here's the other key. The four-page memo, even though it's being dubbed as Nunes's, was not just from Nunes. It's got intel and information from Trey Gowdy, intel and information from Matt Gaetz, Jim Jordan. The list goes on. So this isn't just one man's opinion or one man's memo. As Alex said, this is a consortium of information that these Republicans and patriots in the government have been talking to one another, trying to figure out, and then Nunes has kind of been the conduit to absorb it all and to put it all in paper. So that's where we're at right now. Let's go back to Matt Gaetz.
While McCabe is being advertised to the president as the new director and a great guy when he's the guy, it looks like, running the cabal. I understand you're not out in some vendetta after McCabe, but doesn't this all have to come out? I mean, we're hearing there's a lot of even bigger smoking guns that are about to come out.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about that. This memo is not the last piece of evidence in this story. It's an important gathering of the evidence, and it's a laying out of the evidence, but it certainly doesn't cover all periods of time. And, you know, I can say generally, as it relates to the FISA laws, there are original applications for FISA warrants, and then the law requires those FISA warrants to be renewed every 90 days based on the information collected. And so I think that we've got to have a very broad view of the evidence and the full time period before evaluating what reforms we would make in the Congress to this process to ensure it doesn't happen again. And, you know, you mentioned Mr. McCabe as a central figure in so much of what went on. That has come out by looking at the text messages of, you know, of Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. And we're called like conspiracy theorists because we see this cabal right in front of us. We're able to aggregate these data points and show what was really going on. The reality is we're just looking at the very messages that the people that were at the center of the Hillary Clinton investigation.
All right, pause it right there. We got to take a break here. Let's rewind that about 15 seconds and come back to it on the other side. So it's going to be FISA laws and FISA warrants that bring down Barack Obama. And then he's saying there's going to be a new wave of information in intel after this memo. That's going to be the deleted texts and the contents. That's going to be the deleted emails and the contents. And let's not forget about WikiLeaks and Julian Assange kind of just floating in the background here. Maybe there's something to come out of WikiLeaks soon, too. Don't go anywhere. More of the Matt Gaetz interview on the other side.
Making talk radio great again. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
So this story just gets published on thinkprogress.org. House Republican pushes his FBI conspiracy theory on Infowars. Now, Think Progress, you know, I'm not really going to comment on them. The nature of this story, though, is kind of strange, but here's what people don't understand, and I'm not even going to try to judge whatever views the author of this story at Think Progress has, because honestly, it's a little confusing to me at this point based on what I've seen out of Think Progress and then this headline. But here's what people don't understand. See, the reason why Matt Gaetz goes on the Alex Jones show to, quote, discuss conspiracy theories is because we have the biggest audience. It's because Alex Jones has the biggest audience. The only place where you can get a, there's only maybe three or four places where you can get a bigger audience right now than the Alex Jones show. And that's Fox cable television. And then maybe a radio program. But there's another level to that. You see, Gaetz knows going on the Alex Jones show, he can say things that he can't say anywhere else because we're not going to censor him. We're not going to silence him and we're going to believe him. But you read the story, and the story actually makes sense. I mean, it covers the whole thing accurately. There's a couple things in here that make you scratch your head. Like, they say, the conspiracy theory Nunes was pushing in an attempt to validate Trump's reckless claim that then-President Obama tapped his phones was quickly revealed to be baseless. So, no, that's just 100% inaccurate. It's completely real to be accurate, the wiretapping. And that's about to be exposed. So again, it's like they just cling to these talking points that are wrong. And then at the end, Gates' decision to push the memo conspiracy theory on Alex Jones. Like, it's a conspiracy theory. It's not, this is real memo. It's real information from real patriots inside the government. Gates' decision to push the memo conspiracy theory on Alex Jones' show says something about how seriously it should be taken. Yeah, because we're the real deal. Jones has previously pushed conspiracy theories about 9/11 being a false flag. He's right about that. Hillary Clinton's top advisors being involved in a pedophile ring. Look up Laura Silsby and question that. And about out-of-state voters being bussed into Alabama to defeat Republican candidate Roy Moore. That's just a video clip of a guy saying we traveled from all over the country to get this victory. So they just say conspiracy theory and they think that it sticks like a caution or like, you know, volatile chemicals or something. And it's like, no, people get it now. We're right. You can call us conspiracy theory all day long. Our conspiracy theories usually end up being true. It's just like, I'm going to go back to Matt Gaetz in a second here. It's just like, where was the story? Here we go. This is from the Wall Street Journal. The robot revolution, humanoid potential moving upstream. So this is from the Wall Street Journal, and it talks about this, what is the robot's name, guys? I can't remember the robot, who's a citizen of Saudi Arabia now. It's a girl robot, apparently. Sophia, thank you, Sophia. So this humanoid, Sophia, is now a citizen of Saudi Arabia and is basically a living robot, I guess you could say now. It's called a humanoid. But then the serial spitter comes up to me on the streets of New York City and is like, what's a humanoid? Alex Jones said humanoid. What's a humanoid? Huh? Huh? See, I've never heard of a humanoid. I don't know what a humanoid is. So I'm just going to say humanoid and then act like you're crazy. And it's like, bro, this is from the Wall Street Journal. Humanoids are real. They're already making them. You didn't just insult me. You embarrassed yourself. Alex Jones says that there's chemicals making the frogs gay. It's like, yeah, it's called atrazine. They have these little buzzwords that they associate with us, and they think it makes us look bad. And then we're like, no, here's a story in the Wall Street Journal, the robot revolution, humanoid potential moving upstream. No, here's the studies on atrazine. Yeah, it's making the frogs have multiple genders and change genders.
Well, gay frogs, humanoid.
And then it's like, Matt Gaetz goes on the Alex Jones show to talk conspiracy theory. And it's like, no, Matt Gaetz is a patriot that went on the Alex Jones show because he knows more patriots listen to the Alex Jones show than anywhere else. And he knows that when he comes here and tells you what's going on, it just echoes and reverberates and gets louder and gets bigger. So let's go back to Matt Gaetz and Alex Jones talking about the memo that is about to be released tonight.
You mentioned Mr. McCabe as a central figure in so much of what went on. That has come out by looking at the text messages of, you know, of Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, and we're called like conspiracy theorists because we see this cabal right in front of us. We're able to aggregate these data points and show what was really going on. The reality.
Pause it right there, and rewind it 10 seconds because it's so key what he just said. See, the goal of the globalist with the media is to get you to trust the government and the media more than your own two eyes. That's what it's all about. That's why they say Jones is a conspiracy theorist. He talks about gay frogs. He talks about humanoids. Right. Don't trust your own eyes and your own ears to actually read the studies, read the reports, know what a humanoid is, know what the atrazine is. Just absorb the propaganda and then parrot it. That's what they want. That's what their minions have to be. Mindless, soulless zombies that trust whatever they see on television or trust whatever they see out of a virtue signaling Democrat on television more than they trust their own eyes, their own ears, and their own instincts. That's what's going on right now. And now, again, listen to Matt Gaetz put it to you exactly the way it is.
You know, of Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, and we're called like conspiracy theorists because we see this cabal right in front of us. We're able to aggregate these data points and show what was really going on. The reality is we're just looking at the very messages that the people that were at the center of the Hillary Clinton investigation and the center of Robert Mueller's investigation were saying to one another. I mean, that seems to be an entirely reasonable review of the facts to look at the communications between people who had central roles in the investigation. And I don't think there's any dispute that there was extreme bias, but not only bias in their minds, in their actions, in their planning, in the things that they were doing. And it's one of the reasons why I filed legislation today to get this memo released. I was joined by 35 of my Republican colleagues. And also this evening, I'll be taking the floor of the Congress with over a dozen members, each giving their
own voice. All right, so pause it right there. And we're going to monitor that. We're going to have all that for you. But listen to what he's saying. Again, he's like, they say we're conspiracy theorists, but we've got the evidence. We've got the texts. We've got the emails. We've got the communique. We've got it all here. But that's the incredible thing. They have these people so brainwashed. They have these poor libtards so brainwashed that they don't even believe their own eyes. They don't even trust their own instincts. They don't trust their own eyes. They don't trust their own brain. They trust the propaganda on television. Trump's a Russian agent. What proof do you have? Doesn't matter. Hillary Clinton colluded with the Obama administration to try to stop Trump from being elected. Shut up, conspiracy theorist. Here's 10,000 text messages proving it. Shut up. You're just a gay frog humanoid. All right, let's let Gates finish out here.
Memo released so that we can have a debate and a discussion in the public about its contents.
Congressman Gates, that should have been my first question. I mean, I think just knowing the Republicans control the House and seem positive overall that that this vote this afternoon is going to pass, hopefully. And then any word on how fast the president who gets to review that, because it'd be great for him to review it and then talk about it in the State of the Union tomorrow.
All right, pause it right there. Let's pick it up right there when we come back from break. We got to go to break. Now, this is key because originally that's what I thought was going to happen. We get the memo today. We still could get it tonight. And then President Trump addresses it and everything inside it in the State of the Union. But then after thinking about it, no, I don't think that's how it's going to go. I think Trump's State of the Union tomorrow, which, by the way, we're going to have coverage of that, live coverage running through the State of the Union and afterwards, more extended coverage at InfoWars.com/show. Trump is going to talk about America, the resurgence of America. We're back. Jobs are back. Manufacturing back. The economy's huge. I don't think he's going to get into that memo just yet tonight or tomorrow night during the State of the Union. But we'll see. He has the final say of when it gets released. It will make President Trump's desk. Welcome back to the War Room. We are revisiting the Matt Gaetz, Alex Jones interview from earlier today on the Alex Jones Show. Alex just asked Matt what he thinks about the situation with President Trump giving the State of the Union, which we will be covering. We'll have live coverage of the State of the Union tomorrow night at InfoWars.com/show. Extended live coverage, just as we will tonight. And Congressman Gaetz was just about to explain how he thinks Trump may or may not, or what he would like to see from Trump as far as the State of the Union and this memo is concerned.
That should have been my first question. I mean, I think just knowing the Republicans control the House and seem positive overall that that this vote this afternoon is going to pass, hopefully, and then any word on how fast the president who gets to review that, because it'd be great for him to review it and then talk about it in the State of the Union tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, he gets 5 days in which to review the vote of the Intelligence Committee, and he could make an objection during those 5 days, but I don't expect him to. You know what I think would be very interesting, Alex? If during the State of the Union, the president announced that he was supportive of the release of this memo following the Intelligence Committee's potential vote this evening, I think that would be just fantastic. It would be great for the country to see the president wanting to bring this matter to a close, but also wanting the American people to have a look behind the curtain and see what's really going on in this country. It's the kind of populism that got Donald Trump elected, always fighting for the regular folks. And I think we're going to hear a lot of that in the State of the Union. And this would be a really great component piece.
Well, MSM's going to attack you for coming on the show, but that's a badge of honor. It's like the president's come on before because they're so discredited and after their whole Russiagate facade falls, which I think has really already fallen, you can correct me if I'm wrong, where are they going to go from here? I mean, they the fake dossier, BuzzFeed, all this stuff they do, the fake news, and then now it turns out that the conspiracy was FBI and Justice Department collusion to try to stop him getting the nomination, stop him being seated as president, and now remove him from office. when it's Hillary and all them up to their eyeballs with the Russian collusion?
Honestly, Alex, that is a great question, because I think we've won the argument with the American people as it relates to how conflicted the Mueller probe is. I mean, even Harvard University put out a poll that said over half of Americans think that the Mueller probe is infected with conflict of interest. And, you know, Harvard usually leans pretty far to the left.
56%, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but I'll tell you this, Alex. The mainstream media has to find ways to divide us, and so does the political left. Because if we focus on a growing economy, tax cuts, a regulatory environment that's working for the American people again, I think that the people will be uplifted by this Trump presidency and by Republican control of the Congress. And the mainstream media doesn't want to see that.
That was my next question. When clearly globalist policies had their foot on the neck of the country, Trump and you and others have just removed the foot, and we're roaring back to life. How can the Grammys tanking, the NFL tanking, Hillary, all this keep running on hating Trump when clearly he's pro-America, clearly you are? I mean, people aren't going to go against their own interest.
No, and that's why there has to be a constant distraction, right? So we're about to have this immigration debate. And look, I mean, there are elements of the president's blueprint that I like regarding border security. There are elements that I don't love. But I suspect that the mainstream media, the political left, they'll have to go play the race card. They'll have to use identity politics to divide people. And I think reasonable voices will have to emerge and say, no, like, we need an immigration policy that supports border security to support the rule of law in this country. And I hope the president lays that out tomorrow, Alex.
All right, we got a little bit of time left after this quick break with Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida. Impressive new crop of folks that are up there with real leadership. This is amazing to see this country come back from the dead. We'll be right back. Stay with us. All right, I got to say, rising star of the Republican Party. I know that he's one of my favorite people to watch on Fox News or when he's even on CNN. Got 5 minutes left with Matt Gaetz, mattgaetz.com. Gaetz spelled G-A-E-T-Z, mattgaetz.com. You can follow him on Twitter, all the rest of it, and that's critical. We had a great discussion during that 3.5 minute break. Let's just go through it. What happens as their house of cards falls? They've shown they never give up.
Well, you're right about that, Alex, but they're going to be like cornered rats when this entire investigation is shown to be the fraud that it is. It's built on a rotten foundation, and I suspect that they'll have to go into major defense mode over Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation. There's a lot of people that paid bribes to the Clinton Foundation that still may be getting a benefit out of this government. And when they find out that their house of cards is falling, we may see a very strong reaction, and they'll have to really start to explain themselves, because the president's shown one thing. He's willing to drain the swamp in this town.
Now, pause it right there. This is key. So, I mean, this is so unbelievable. Everything that they have, they've thrown everything at Donald Trump. They've thrown the proverbial kitchen sink at Donald Trump, if you will. And you notice how none of it sticks. None of it. In fact, it's so bad that they have to rehash a fake failed book, Fire and Fury, that claims that Trump was mentally unfit and claims Trump didn't even want to win the election. And yet they tried to rehash that book on the Grammys last night in their Bash Trump Fest. The Grammys aren't even about music anymore. It's about hating Trump and hating America. But what's the difference? I'm really wondering what the modern day leftist Trump hater and CNN MSNBC host is going to do when all they've had against President Trump was hearsay, talking points, and conjecture, and just verbal attacks and abuses and hatred. See, that's going to be the difference. When all of this comes out about Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama's administration, it's not conjecture. It's not hearsay. They're going to have the facts. They're going to have the names, the dates, how it all went down. They've got the emails. They've got the texts. I mean, these people are dead to rights, folks. And here you have an entire swath of the nation that has been brainwashed into thinking all of this about Trump. That we played the clip in the first hour, Cory Booker, Trump is he's a lawless president, doesn't even care about the law. Cory Booker is the exact type of person I'm talking about. What is a person like Cory Booker going to do when it turns out that everything they said about Trump was actually true about Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama? What are they going to do? And the difference is, it's not going to be conjecture. It's not going to be made up. And now it looks like we might actually have the levers of power to actually get an investigation and maybe an indictment. And who knows what else? And that's why Matt Gaetz is saying they're cornered rats. You see, Trump was never a cornered rat because you never had him in a corner. You never had him in a box. He always had you in a box. That's why he works the Democrats over on these deals like ragdolls. That's why he works the media over with his comments and his presentation like ragdolls. They think Trump's a cornered rat, but that's really them projecting who they really are onto Trump. They're the cornered rats. Cory Booker is the cornered rat. Hillary Clinton is the cornered rat. Barack Obama is the cornered rat. James Comey, Andrew McCabe, they are the cornered rats. They have nowhere to run. They have nowhere to hide. They're about to be exposed. And what is the fake media going to do that hoisted up Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama for the last 10 years? What are they going to do when they're proven to be total anti-American, anti-truth frauds and traitors? Or are they that incompetent? Are they that incompetent and ignorant? Or are they that corrupt? That is the next question. Let's go back to Gaetz for the rest of this segment.
It's in there, and that's why they're panicking. 2018, they say, is everything. We secured the beachhead like Normandy, but we've got to actually go into Germany here to use that World War II analogy. So let's talk about 2018.
Well, Trump voters have to have a reason to come out and vote for Republicans in a world in which Donald Trump's not going to be on the ballot, Alex. And so the question is, will Republicans stand by the Trump agenda? Will we help this president get major things accomplished like we did on tax reform? Or in this next year, is it going to be more like the Obamacare fiasco, where unfortunately we weren't able to do that because of some people in the Senate, primarily Republicans, abandoning this president? And so I think that if we stand behind our standard bearer, if we fight for his agenda, for a stronger border, for infrastructure, for tax cuts, we'll see this economy take off and Trump voters will come out. If we see more of like what we see out of Lindsey Graham and Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski and sometimes Mitch McConnell, then I fear we may be in for a real tough cycle. So it's all up to us. We have the power to control our destiny if we'll fight with this president.
Well, that's right. The leftists brag. They go, okay, libertarians, conservatives, nationalists, populists, they woke up. They're taking over worldwide, but it doesn't matter. Now we've mobilized, and they're really stealing elections. They are boiling out of their rat holes. And people need to know, hey, this was just phase one. It's kind of like a football game. We've won the first half, and now we're coming out of the bunkers here. This is the real fight here in the second half.
No, you're absolutely right, because if we lose the House, Nancy Pelosi will have Donald Trump impeached by this House within 90 days of taking the gavel. I firmly believe that. And so that's why the House is so important. And then in the Senate, we find too often that there's this sense of collegiality and deference to one another that really erodes democracy. It erodes majority rule. I think we need a new voice in the huddle in the Senate. I think that we need some leaders in the United States Senate to stand up and fight.
And Matt Gaetz is one of those individuals. Powerful stuff for Matt Gaetz. We'll have the conclusion of that interview on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the War Room.
This is the return
of the Republic.
And this is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the deep state is in absolute panic. We have, look at this exclusive footage of Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer has finally decided to bathe. Look at this. With the deep state being exposed and McCabe stepping down and everything stepping down, Chuck Schumer realizes that he's probably the next target here. He's finally decided to take a bath. Look at this exclusive footage. Chuck Schumer in a panic trying to clean himself up before he goes down with the sinking ship of the Democrat Party. Wow, look at Chuck Schumer, the rat, finally taking a bath. All right, having some fun here on the War Room. In the next segment, we will finish up the Matt Gaetz interview. But in this short segment, I wanted to play this video. This is from Campus Reform. You had the Campus Reform host go to the streets of New York University, and he was asking the students how they felt about Trump's first State of the Union address that hadn't happened yet.
I'm Kevin Phillips with Campus Reform. Today we're at NYU getting students' opinions on President Trump's State of the Union address. Except that speech won't happen for another 7 days. But what will they say when we ask them what they thought of it? Let's find out.
Well, we've been getting people's reactions today to the State of the Union last night. Some people were saying that it was the most racist State of the Union that's ever happened. What was your reaction to everything that was said?
I didn't watch it because I couldn't bring myself to watch it.
Quite racist at the very least. If not up there with most racist.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow. Most racist.
Already quickly climbing the scale. Some of the people said today that they thought his immigration stance and that he outlined last night was especially hateful.
Very offensive.
What do you think of it?
It's something that I wouldn't have expected to happen in, like, our lifetime.
It's offensive. See, it is crazy, but
just think
I'm not
about the type of individual that would commit to ignorance.
Pretty ugly.
They know they didn't watch the speech. Why are you commenting on it?
His rough nature and the hate that he probably said.
He told the Democrats the wall got 10 feet higher because they didn't stand up and give him applause.
10 feet higher.
What do you think of all that?
It's the behavior of someone who refuses to accept accountability for their failures.
The way he acts, you shouldn't be
acting.
You're
up here talking about a speech that didn't happen, woman.
Regardless of what party you're in. So that frustrates me a lot.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me that that was his State of the Union address.
Hopefully everything that he's outlined can be overturned by the public.
Was there anything in particular that you saw people most upset about?
This is honestly sad how delusional they are.
Immigration going on with the whole DACA thing and him trying to build the wall.
One of the craziest moments when he started a build the wall chant with all the Republicans that were there.
Okay.
People on social media were accusing him of basically using the State of the Union as a campaign event.
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous.
I think it's absolutely crazy.
The fact that he started a chant, he's big on those.
But what's your reaction?
Oh, yeah.
I think it reveals that he has the temperament of a three-year-old.
People, a lot of times, they're trying to say, don't listen to what he's saying. They just want to shut it down just because it's Trump saying it. Do you think they have any ground there?
Or they just hate it, even though it never happened?
I don't think there are enough progressive and intellectual people that really analyze what he's saying.
Oh, progressive and intellectual like you?
Last night.
I don't know. We'll see. He said he was going to become president. He became president.
So there you go. That's just like when I went out on the streets and I said, hey, what do you think about Bernie's tax plan? Oh, Bernie's tax plan is great. It's wonderful. I agree with everything you just said. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. This is actually Trump's tax plan. And then what do they do? Oh, you're fake news. No, you're fake news. You're the fake news. But think about it. What type of a person doubles down on ignorance? You know they have no idea whether Trump gave a State of the Union address or not. They have no idea. Maybe he did. Maybe that he didn't. They don't know. So they already are ignorant in that they don't know if it happened. But then they double down on their ignorance and they actually answer the question as if they know. What type of person goes full on ignorance? What type of person doubles down and fully commits to ignorance? A modern day liberal, a libtard. And most of these are college students, obviously, so they're the worst at this. But doesn't that just show you these people are clouded by hate? They're clouded by rage. They're brainwashed into denial and they commit to ignorance. It's like if someone brings me a story, I like to be like, okay, maybe I need to look into this before I provide a comment. They're just like, I have no idea, but I know. I don't know if there was a State of the Union, but I know it was bad. Oh, yeah, I do.
Let's make talk radio great again. This is the War Room.
The deep state, the Obama administration, and the Clinton crime cabal are in absolute total panic. That includes the like of Barack Obama, Eric Holder, Hillary Clinton, and the list goes on and on and on. And they are about to be caught dead to rights in their illegal activity and their bias in corrupting the United States government. It truly is amazing. This is the Revolutionary War. We are living and breathing history right now. And this is the second American Revolution here, folks. That's what's going on. So Matt Gaetz goes on the Alex Jones Show. We are going to conclude the rest of that interview in that segment. Let's go back to Matt Gaetz with Alex Jones.
Get back and start working on some of these entitlements that are hollowing out the economic future of this country. Let's get back and actually secure the border. Let's do E-Verify. Let's end chain migration. I think if we can get a Senate behind those priorities, we'll have a great 2018. But if they fail, to do the conservative things we promised to our voters, then I suspect voters who are Trump fans may not come out for the election. But you're right. It's critically important to get the agenda done.
Well, I got to say, and I'm not a cheerleader. I'm a cheerleader for the truth. Trump has over-delivered in 1 year. He did more than Reagan ever did in 3 or 4, and I love Reagan. I mean, it was dramatic. They call it gridlock. He ran over the gridlock. I mean, all the things we got procedurally, wounding Obamacare, the tax cuts, the border, taking care of the military. I mean, all the things we've seen, the jobs, the stock market. I mean, if America doesn't double down and realize Trump's got our back, we've got to get his back, we deserve what happens. In closing, the minute we've got left, Congressman Gates from Florida, State of the Union. We've seen year one about delivering. Trump says, hey, I've just got it started. What do you expect to hear in the State of the Union tomorrow night?
I expect the president to offer a unifying message. I expect a real focus on infrastructure and about the economic conditions people find themselves in, because the mainstream media can lie and they can cheat and they can distort and they can take things out of context and sensationalize all kind of drama that goes on here in Washington. But what the mainstream media can't lie about is the amount of money in people's paychecks. And I think that the president is going to talk to over 2 million Americans that have already seen their wages rise. They've already seen bonuses in their bank accounts. And he's going to talk about the economic condition of this of the American people. And I think ultimately that will unify our party, and it should unify the country.
That's right. It's a really a question of the people are awake. They should deliver and take action. I got to ask this last question. I know you're not a vindictive guy. Neither am I. You know, Napoleon got, you know, sent off to Alba. But Hillary and the globalists have committed all these crimes. There should be more investigations. Something should be done. They're always going to come back if we don't. Is somebody going to get indicted over the made-up Russiagate crimes, trying to frustrate voters, and all the crazy stuff we've seen? I mean, you know, the money, the former FBI director, you know, McCabe's wife getting $500,000. The president's talked about it. What needs to happen, just in closing?
Well, there have been credible media reports that the Little Rock field office is actually investigating elements of bribery and corruption with the Clinton Foundation, particularly as it relates to uranium sales that may not have been in our nation's interest. And I think that should really worry Hillary Clinton and some of the people who were paying money for influence within the Clinton world, because this is not going to be a politically predetermined outcome made by a bunch of political bureaucrats at the head shed at the FBI. This is going to be frontline work done by real field agents out in the Little Rock field office, and they should be concerned because justice may be coming to their doorstep very soon.
Wow. So it looks like Clinton world is coming to an end as America and the real world comes back. Wow. Matt Gaetz, really impressed with what you're doing. MattGaetz.com. Thanks for joining us here in the InfoWar.
Thank you.
All right. There goes the congressman. Thank you so much, Congressman. Wow. MattGaetz.com. I'm Alex Jones with InfoWars.com and NewsWars.com. We're going to go to break here in just a few minutes. But I tell you, I remember Stone a couple of years ago on Matt Gaetz. We're running.
All right, so there is the powerful interview, Alex Jones and Matt Gaetz. And again, Matt Gaetz has been one of the patriots inside of Congress here that has emerged lately as a true hero in Congress. And somebody you hope that you can invest in the future for our politics and for our government. A man like Matt Gaetz, a man like Jim Jordan and Trey Gowdy. These are the heroes that are emerging from Congress right now. And there's a lot of heroes behind closed doors that will never get the recognition they deserve. But it's a rejuvenation of America. I mean, that's what this is. We've had a corrupt government, a corrupt Congress, a corrupt media from the top down, and just getting Trump in, like piercing the shield, now the rest of us can just rush in there. And Trump ending political correctness allows people like Matt Gaetz to go out there and speak his mind and go on the Alex Jones show. So that's the culture war that we're winning. Now, we don't know what the story is going to be with this vote here tonight. We are expecting the vote to happen, but it's amazing how nobody wants to talk about this. Even though this memo being released, I mean, honestly, they have to form a new special counsel and investigate the Clintons. They have to bring charges against the Obama administration. I mean, these are inevitable actions that are going to have to be taken when we find out exactly who and why was responsible for the fake Trump dirty dossier, who and why was responsible for the FISA warrant wiretapping on the Trump campaign, who and why pretty much all procedural laws were violated when they got the FISA warrant to spy on President Trump, and who and why thinks that they're above the American Republic when it comes to a presidential election, that they can allow a Hillary Clinton, a criminal, to walk free, even though she's guilty of crimes that anyone else would go to jail over, and then try to bring the president down after he gets elected. And then what do we find out from a QAnon post? That to me, if you followed me, I pretty much ignored QAnon when QAnon first came out because, I mean, as a reporter, you can't, I mean, who knows who QAnon is? Who knows if it's accurate? So even when, I mean, we covered a Think Progress story today, even when you covered things from like Think Progress, it's like, yeah, I don't know about all that. So, but the point is, this is something that should be the number one story. And it used to be that I didn't even cover QAnon because it was anonymous, because how can you actually check whether any of this is real or not? Well, it always comes down to results. And pretty much everything that QAnon has been posting going back has been accurate. And you just have to say, okay, well, I mean, it is what it is. It's an anonymous post, but it continues to be accurate. It continues to be right. It continues to kind of put out Morse code or, you know, some sort of smoke signals so that the people can have a little intel of their own. And actually, Jerry Corsi did a wonderful job on the final two segments of the Alex Jones show yesterday, the Sunday show, a wonderful job breaking it all down. I mean, it's just incredible. And again, this is what I'm saying, folks. You want to know why InfoWars is here? You want to know why InfoWars is so important? You want to know why people tune into InfoWars and nowhere else? Because nowhere else is talking about this right now. I've got multiple mainstream news medias up right here, and neither one of them is talking about this, both Fox. I've got the crew back there monitoring all the medias, and nobody's talking about this. CNN isn't talking about it, MSNBC, nothing on C-SPAN. Nobody wants to talk about this memo. Nobody wants to talk about this that's about to expose Barack Obama and his administration and expose the Clinton crime cabal that had their hands and dirty mitts all over our government for the last 10 years plus even, and maybe still today. And no one wants to talk about it. So that's why InfoWars exists. And it's all your support at InfoWarsStore.com that makes it happen. We don't have big bank sponsors, big pharmaceutical sponsors, you know, no. We have you. We have big Patriot sponsors, InfoWarsStore.com, all kinds of specials. You know, just try it, folks. If you haven't tried the products at InfoWarsStore.com, what are you waiting for? Now is the perfect time. Fund us. Help us grow. Get a great product. We'll be right back with more of The War Room. Okay, so I'm trying to figure out what's going on here because you've got Adam Schiff speaking live right now on Capitol Hill. He's basically giving conflicting reports. Can I get audio of this, guys? Okay. So let me know if we can get audio. I'm just going to try to rehash exactly what I heard in the break from Adam Schiff. And again, it was very convoluted and he was kind of conflicting himself, but first, he was saying, you know, I can't even break it down. He literally went from saying they're going to vote to release it, they're not going to vote to release it, they are going to vote to release it, they're not going to vote to release it in a matter of 2 minutes. So I don't know what Adam Schiff is on, but this is the first coverage that we've had of this all day. So finally, people are forcing to cover this because Adam Schiff is making the statement, I guess, with the minority members of the House Intel Committee, who are saying we can't release this. It's compromising methods. It's compromising to the FBI. And then he's complaining. He's like, we told the FBI and the leaders of the FBI that we don't think we should release this, and they didn't listen to us. It's like, yeah, guess what? Because patriots know who you are, Adam Schiff. Anti-American, liar, phony. Apparently we have the audio of this, guys. Let's go live to Adam Schiff, who's speaking right now as far as the vote that may or may not take place tonight.
I made a secondary motion that prior to the public release of either memoranda, that the FBI and the Department of Justice have the opportunity to
come. Can
we
pause this, guys? Is it okay to pause this? Okay. So listen, I just want to be clear what he's talking about. So you've got the majority memoranda. I'm trying to think as I'm understanding this right. The majority memoranda is the memo that everybody wants to get. The 4-page memo, Trey Gowdy, Matt Gaetz, everybody working on to expose the Obama and Clinton crime cabal. That's the majority memoranda. Then he talks about the minority memoranda, which is their quote unquote counter memo that they literally just made up. They literally just made it up to counter the real memo. Do you see how desperate these people are? So I just want to clarify that, because it's really confusing listening to this snake in the grass. But that's what he's saying. The minority memoranda is the fake memo that they made up to counter the real memo to try to delegitimize it. But then he complains like, oh, the director of the FBI and nobody's listening to us. Huh? Because they don't care about you. You are an un-American scumbag. All right, let's go back to Adam Schiff.
And brief the entire House in a classified session on both memoranda, on the underlying facts and the underlying materials.
You have no facts. You made it up.
A responsible judgment as to whether the memoranda should be made public. That motion was voted down by the majority. The majority expressed a concern that something in the minority memoranda or otherwise could compromise sources and methods. And for exactly that reason, we asked.
Okay, pause it right there. Now I think I understood what he said. I didn't understand it the first time. Now hearing it back, I think I get it. Oh my gosh. These guys are rats. What a bunch of rats. So they write the minority memoranda, a fake memoranda, a fake memo, and then they say, if you release the majority memoranda, if you release the majority memo out, then we also release the minority memo out, which they obviously wrote up to expose how the FBI works or the inner workings of the House Intelligence. Oh my gosh. These people are such, oh my gosh. They're such dirty rats that they literally made up this memo and they put things in the minority memo that would actually compromise procedural methods that the House Intel Committee takes just so that the Republicans wouldn't vote to release the memo tonight. What a bunch of crooked rats. Do you see? This is what I'm talking about. Let the Democrats continue to hang themselves. Let the Democrats continue to embarrass themselves. So here you go. Just like the Democrats didn't want you to get a tax cut, didn't want you to get a job, didn't want you to get a wage increase, now they don't want you to know the truth. Now they're trying to keep this memo from being released by making up memos that probably have important procedural FBI stuff inside it so that the majority in the House Intel Committee won't vote to release that memo because they know it could compromise investigation techniques of the DOJ and the FBI. That is how dirty the Democrats are right now, that they will make things up and write memos for the only sole purpose to keep the truth from getting to you. There's nothing in that memo. There is no memo. They have nothing. They've had a year and a half looking into Trump-Russia. They've got nothing. They made up a memo to hold the real memo hostage. Let's go back to the pencil neck.
That both memoranda be vetted by the FBI and the Department of Justice.
See, there it is. That's what he's telling you. Pause it again.
Oh, now that we've got this minority memo, we've got to get it. We've got the FBI needs to look into this now.
See, the FBI gave you the middle finger because you're a piece of shit, and they said, go ahead and release it. So then you wrote a fake memo that exposes FBI interrogation or investigation techniques, and now they're not going to confirm that because they don't want the public to know what they do and their methodology. You are a dirty crook, Adam Schiff. Wow. Go back to Schiff.
That was voted down. I spoke with the director of the FBI.
Yeah, you're proud, aren't you?
Earlier this afternoon.
You're proud of keeping the American people in the dark. You're proud of keeping the American people ignorant, aren't you, Adam Schiff?
Prior to any release of these materials, about concerns that the Bureau and the Department have, I relayed that interest by the director of the FBI, a appointee of President Trump, to this committee. But that was unavailing. They were not willing to meet with the director of the FBI to hear the Bureau's concerns or the department's concerns. Instead, they voted
because they know you're anti-American scum. See, that's what I'm saying. Pause real quick. I'm sorry. I hate to just keep saying this, but Chris Wray at the FBI realizes there's no point in talking to you because you're a liar. You're a waste of time, and now here you are wasting the FBI's time again by trying to hold the real memo hostage by writing a fake memo. Unbelievable. Go back to that anti-American.
Representatives to be briefed by the Department of Justice and FBI on these memoranda. Finally, I moved that if the majority...
Just look at all their faces, man.
...their memoranda publicly, that they release the minority views as well.
Guy in the background.
That they be released jointly.
Got some bug-eyed person there, too.
And the majority, on a party-line basis, voted against both memoranda being released to the public.
See, there you go. He's admitting it. They wrote a fake memoranda. All right, just pause right there. We're going to come back to this on the other side. People are so dirty. Let me tell you something. Folks, this is how you know we have really reached a precipice here. They are taking the most desperate measures, the most desperate lengths ever to keep you from knowing the truth and to protect their own criminal hide. That they would write a fake memo, just like they would write a fake dossier, just like they would write a fake book to try to stop the truth from getting out and to try to stop America from its resurgence under President Trump. These people hate you, period. They hate the truth. They hate you. They hate Trump. They hate America. It's time for them to go down.
Give me liberty
or give me death.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream
right now
at Infowars.com/show.
Okay. Trying to figure this all out. It's very convoluted. It's very confusing. So here's the deal. They are going to release the memo, and they're going to make it available to the entire House. That's what they voted on. And now the memo goes to President Trump's desk, and now he can confirm whether or not to release it to the entire public. So the confusion was, listening to Adam Schiff, is here's why he's so mad. Because, well, there's a lot of reasons, and we're going to go back to Adam Schiff in a moment. We've got the entire audio here. But basically, why Adam Schiff is mad, I realize what he tried to do, what the Democrats tried to do, was hold the real memo hostage by writing a fake memo that would compromise sources and methods that the FBI and the DOJ uses, or Congress uses, or the House Intel Committee uses to write real memos and do real investigations that lead to the real memo that is about to go to Trump's desk. So they write a fake memo to try to hold the real memo hostage. And then what happens is they vote to release the real memo, and then they vote down to release the Democrat memo. So Pencil Neck Schiff is freaking out because he can't get his propaganda out to the public. And then he's all mad. He's like, oh, why won't the FBI listen to me? Oh, why won't the DOJ listen to me? Oh, I wrote this fake memo and nobody's going to see it now. And he doesn't even get it. Dude, patriots have taken over the government now. Patriots are running the government now. You're an anti-American pencil neck scumbag Nobody cares about your fake memo. So it doesn't matter how much pencil neck Adam Schiff cries, it's over. Here's Donald Trump Jr. on Twitter. Schiff sounds like he's panicking. One memo that has been available to all Congress to read for a week will be made public, but he wants to release his without showing anyone. Same old nonsense. I think I'll win my bet that he leaks his. That seems to be his thing. Okay, so that's the story now. Will Adam Schiff leak his fake memo that would compromise the House Intel Committee and the FBI's investigations? Now, this is just amazing. Let's go back now to Adam Schiff crying, freaking out because his fake memo is not going to be released to the public.
We had a separate vote on the minority memoranda, and the majority voted against allowing the public to see the minority memoranda. The release the memo crowd apparently doesn't want to release the memo now.
The most That's fake news. Say that see what he does there? He twists it. They don't want to release the fake memo.
So from now, they would consider whether to release the minority memo.
It's fake. It's not a memo.
Transparently political objective behind this.
Hold on. I'm going to write a memo.
To allow the majority to set a certain narrative for a week or so before they released a full statement of the facts from the minority. But nonetheless, this is where we are. We had votes today to politicize the intelligence process, to prohibit.
Hey, I got a memo here, guys. Top secret.
Expressing their concerns to our committee and to the House, and to selectively release to the public only the majority's distorted memo without the full facts. A very sad day, I think, in the history of this committee. As I said to my committee colleagues during this hearing. Sadly, we can fully expect that the President of the United States will not put the national interest over his own personal interest. But it is a sad day indeed when that is also true of our own committee. Because today this committee voted to put the President's personal interest, perhaps their own political interest, above the net, in denying themselves even the ability to hear from the Department and the FBI. And that is, I think, a deeply regrettable state of affairs.
Wrong. They just don't want to hear from you.
How, in my view, when you have a deeply flawed person in the Oval Office, that flaw can infect the whole of government and it takes...
Pause it right there. Oh, my gosh. Bingo. That was Obama. That was Obama. See, don't you get it? That's why he's freaking out. Everything he just said was true. If the office of the President of the United States is compromised, the entire government becomes compromised. That was Obama. That was the Obama DOJ. That was the Obama FBI. And that's exactly what's about to be exposed with this memo that we already know because we have the top secret FISA documents that are already released to the public. So we already know that the Obama administration acted criminally. We already know that they colluded with the FBI and the DOJ to write Hillary off before doing an investigation. We already know that it was Obama that was the corrupt president, that it was Obama that corrupted the entire halls of government in the DOJ and the FBI. And then here's pencil neck Adam Schiff. Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I. This guy is so infuriating. It's unbelievable. Then he's going to sit here and he's going to lie to the American public about everything that's going on. And he's going to project everything that the Obama administration was guilty of on President Trump. And this is the beauty of it. Oh, this is what I was saying earlier. So we just have to let the Democrats do this. Just let the Adam Schiffs of the world be the most traitorous, lying scum ever and lie to the American public time and time again, because it's only going to make them look worse in the end. So go ahead, Adam Schiff. We give the platform back to the pencil neck scum, anti-American Adam Schiff, who lies to the people and makes up fake memos to try to counter real information from getting out there.
Tragically, it infected our committee. And at this point, I'll yield to my colleagues.
No, it's the Obama administration.
We're not talking about the investigation. We're talking about the distraction that they have created. If you're a Democrat or Republican, you should care just as much about this. They attacked the democratic process. They hacked into boards of election. And one could imagine a scenario in which they
That was the Obama administration. Again, that was the Obama administration. This is unbelievable how these people lie.
I should also mention that it was disclosed to the minority today for the first time. That the majority has evidently opened an investigation of the FBI and an investigation of the Department of Justice.
Good.
Under our committee rules, of course, that
you ought to be investigated next.
With minority,
and you will be.
About that for the first time.
You will be.
Now it has been.
There's the bug-eyed cockroach that's going to be investigated next. I guarantee you that.
The majority working on some kind of a investigation or inquiry into the Department of Justice and FBI. But apparently the chairman made it formal today.
Yeah, it's going down, bud. See, look at how fake they are. All right, pause it right there. Look at how fake they are. He's like, oh, my gosh. I mean, here we are launching every type of investigation into President Trump we possibly can. We've been investigating him for a year and a half, and it's really important that the public know all about this. So here come the Republicans, and they say, well, we decided to launch our own investigation. And actually, what we discovered was that the Obama administration was acting illegally and they were ignoring the laws when it came to the FISA court against the FBI and the DOJ's wishes. And they were all colluding to write Hillary off before she even got investigated. And we've got the texts. We've got the emails. We know how it all happened. We've got the names, how they made up the fake dossier, how they used that to spy on Trump. And then this lying piece of Schiff, Adam Schiff, comes out here and says, well, the American people ought to be really concerned that there isn't more concern over the corruption of the Trump administration. And meanwhile, the American people are sitting here like, isn't it the Obama administration that was corrupt? Isn't that what we found out here? Oh, yeah. You're a liar. You are a duplicitous, lying scumbag, Adam Schiff. And you're going to get investigated next. So it's okay for us to do a fake witch hunt investigation into Trump, and everybody needs to know about that. But as soon as it's into Obama, hold the horses. We can't go there. Okay, the vote has gone down, and the Republican majority inside the House Intel Committee has voted to release the memo. That's right, folks. We are going to get that memo. Now, President Trump has 5 days to decide whether or not to release that to the public. I suspect he will address that after he addresses the nation with his State of the Union address. And so we're going to have plenty of time for the Democrats here to be flopping around like a carp out of water and embarrassing themselves. And Adam Schiff has already taken the lead on that. We'll go back to Schiff in a minute. But real quick, folks, tomorrow night, we are going to be doing extended coverage of the State of the Union address, not just extended coverage of the State of the Union, which we will roll on our live coverage after the War Room when it normally concludes here at 6 p.m. Central. Then we're also going to be giving live coverage of the Maxine Waters rebuttal of the State of the Union. I mean, can you imagine? Oh, boy. This is sad. It's really sad that they would trot Maxine Waters out there, a mentally deranged, possibly suffering from dementia, James Brown wig wearing chrome dome, 500 pounds of makeup on her face. Wow. Anyway, we're going to cover it all. We're going to cover it all. We're going to cover the historical Trump State of the Union and then what will be a absolute comedy show, the Maxine Waters rebuttal. That is going to be something ridiculous. But it's only possible with your support at InfoWarsStore.com. You know, it was just like Alex was saying today. I always get these plug sheets, and they're nice, and it keeps me informed on all the great specials we have. But I can just talk to you about the products because I use the products. I mean, you want to talk about game-changing products, folks. Look at this special we have right now. 40% off InfoWars Life Mind and Body Combo Pack. Now, you heard from Roger Stone's trainer why he suggests Vitamin Mineral Fusion in the morning. And anybody who's a health nut already knows that. You take the Vitamin Mineral Fusion in the morning, you get those essential vitamins and minerals that are in that compound, and you knock it out right before you even get your day started. It gives you energy, And it, again, gives you those necessary vitamins and minerals that you do not get in your normal diet. I mix mine with all kinds of different juices. Right now it's apple juice, but it's great for the morning. Boom, you knock it out. You get your minerals, you get your vitamins in every morning. And then you've got the Brain Force. So for some people, it takes a while to kind of wake up in the morning. You have the morning fog. You're not a morning person. Some people drink coffee. Everybody knows about this. But this is the perfect combo pack to get yourself boosted in the morning. Boost your body with the Vitamin Mineral Fusion and then boost your mind with the Brain Force. So just like it kind of takes your body a little bit to get adjusted from waking up from a long night's sleep, same thing happens to your brain. They call it brain fog. Well, the InfoWars Life Mind and Body Combo Pack at 40% off right now is perfect for stopping the, well, keeping, or I guess starting the morning routine is what I should say. It's stopping the brain fog, stopping kind of the slow body. This is like a jet set for your morning, the InfoWars Life Mind and Body Combo Pack. And again, I'm speaking from experience because I take both of these products. So if you're somebody who kind of has a slow go of it in the morning, you're not necessarily a morning person, you have the brain fog, you kind of have the body stiffness, the Vitamin Mineral Fusion, Brain Force, InfoWars Life, Mind and Body Combo Pack at 40% off right now is the perfect solution. If you're someone that has to work early and you kind of struggle in the mornings, it's perfect. Hit a couple Brain Force, hit a Vitamin Mineral Fusion drink mix, and within a half an hour, you will be up and at 'em, full prime, ready to take on the day. So that is the latest special at InfoWarsStore.com. 40% off the InfoWars Life Mind and Body Combo Pack. Check out everything at InfoWarsStore.com. That's what makes it possible. 10 hours live a day is what InfoWars is right now. Tomorrow, you're probably looking at 13 to 14 hours of live coverage, maybe even more. In fact, probably definitely more. And then Alex is working to eventually hit 20 hours of live programming by the end of this calendar year. But it's only possible with your support at InfoWarsStore.com. You know, I do have some news. FCC chairman opposes government-backed 5G. I think we need to look into the health implications of 5G before we implement it, because we're finding out about the internet and cell phones and how they can cause cancer and everything with the radio waves and everything, the cell phone waves. So, you know, maybe we should look into the health impact of 5G. That probably won't happen. Wall Street Journal publishes a story. What about social media neutrality? Yeah, all these people that complain about net neutrality have no problem with the bias at Twitter and at Facebook. Meanwhile, new ISIS video signs to jihadists inside the United States. You can thank President Hussein Obama for that. That it's time to rise and kill us. So that's nice. Thank you, Obama, for the open borders and letting the radical jihadis in here that want to kill us peacefully. And then Mexico to send troops to stem violence after record 25,000 murders in the last calendar year. You know, that that country that had 25,000 murders in the last calendar year borders us. Yeah, that's bordering us on the southern border. So maybe we should have some sort of security there, you would think, right? You would think that. But no, not if you're President Obama or a Democrat. Sales are up for companies and so are wages. That is a story in the Associated Press. And then today, the markets actually flinched pretty toughly today. The markets flinched and the markets dropped today. I'm thinking that was people a little bit hesitant right now because of everything that's about to go down this week. I mean, folks, you have to understand something. When this memo gets released, I mean, do you realize how bad the United States government is going to look? I mean, the crimes that Barack Obama is guilty of, the crimes that Hillary Clinton is guilty of, I mean, that's why they say, you know, this is going to be really bad, but it's like, no, we need to know this. People need to know how criminal Obama was and how criminal Hillary were. But I think the market is kind of flinching right now because they're worried how the market might reflect that news getting out. But if Trump puts it off to the end of the week and delivers a rousing State of the Union, you could see the stock markets go up again. All right. Anyway, let's. Michelle Obama is going to appear on the Ellen DeGeneres show. Matt Drudge thinks that's a sign that she's going to run for president. Go ahead, run Michael Obama for president. I don't care anymore. Nobody can beat Trump at this point, and he's just about to get more support than ever because the economy's booming back. So let's go now back to the rest of this Adam Schiff clip of him crying because they don't want to release his fake memo, but they did vote to release the real memo. Here's Adam Schiff.
Justice. This is a wholesale broadside against two of our respected institutions. And
respected.
Brings to mind something
Time out. See, this is what I'm talking about. If you would have asked, oh my gosh. If you would, first of all, I guarantee you the FBI approval rating is just like tanking. I mean, just tanked. Nobody trusts the FBI. Let's not forget that President Trump released the JFK assassination papers. And what did we find out? The FBI lied to us. The FBI covered up the murder of JFK. The CIA lied to us. The CIA has implants in the media that lie to us. So we already know about the FBI and the CIA and how they lie to us. And here's pencil neck Adam Schiff.
The highly respected FBI. It's so highly respected.
No, it's not. People think the FBI is the most corrupt organization in the United States. And they thought that before Trump. See, if you would have asked all of these Trump haters on the streets, what do you think about the FBI? Corrupt, dirty, bad, needs to be shut down. Here comes Trump. Number one at the FBI, Comey, gone. Number two at the FBI, McCabe, gone. And then here's Adam Schiff.
The highly respected FBI.
No, it's not. Not anymore. Now, maybe they're trying to bring the FBI back to a level of respect by draining the swamp and exposing the lies of the past. But Adam Schiff is just up here crying because they don't want to release his fake memo. Go back with Adam Schiff.
Brought to the committee's attention a week ago when we first took up the majority memo, and that is we need to be concerned with not just what happens during this presidency, but the lasting damage that may be done to these institutions. And
oh my God, and pause it right there. Again, though. He doesn't talk about the previous presidencies. No. Obama's not involved in any of this. No. This is all about Trump, and this is all about safeguarding ourselves for future administrations, even though the entire thing is about corruption in the Obama administration. The entire thing. And he says that this is a distraction from the Russian probe. No, it's not. You're trying to distract from the crimes of the Obama administration and the crimes of Hillary Clinton. This is really unbelievable. That's going to do it for now for the War Room. We may actually be back on the other side. I don't even know. We may have an exclusive video, but the War Room signs off for now, our regular time. You stay classy, InfoWarriors.